Today I want to ask the question, do we have to die in order to live? This topic came up during a coach's conference call, and we were discussing how to help a person who had horrible experience as an infant and a small child, and at 61 years of age, she was still being plagued by these memories to an extreme extent. There's so much mystery and fear around dying that it is difficult to even understand what dying is. For those that make their living based upon the sickness of the human body, death is the endpoint of the process of dying, and is defined based upon physical characteristics like the absence of brain signals, the cessation of breathing, no pulse, no heartbeat, and maybe a few other indicators. I'm wondering if there are other forms of dying not so defined by the mechanical processes of the body. I don't know, but I am willing to question. Is being born the equivalent of stop being dead and becoming alive? That sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? I think some extreme proponents of born-again Christianity, for instance, might say that we are spiritually dead until we are reborn. Which brings me to this question, what is dying? If I look at a plant in my yard and notice that it has gone through what is considered to be the normal life cycle of seed to sprout to growing plant to blooming plant to seed producing plant to dying plant to dead plant, it seems like life itself was expressing through this plant, and in the end, this particular plant's distinctive expression ended and it merged back into life by dying, decaying, and disintegrating into the soil. Looking at that process, I see that part of that that interests me is the merging back into life, or God, or oneness, whatever name we use to describe the source of all that is. That's interesting. Will that plant come back to life again? Well, we say that those plants that do come back to life again, they're labeled as perennials. But those that we say don't come back to life again are labeled as annuals. Bulb plants like tulips don't actually appear to have died, although the above ground expression of that plant's identity comes and goes seasonally, but the bulb itself seems to be the reservoir of life, so they don't really die in our estimation or observation. Water is a fascinating subject, and I highly recommend a documentary that can be found on YouTube.com labeled Water-The Great Mystery. It's there in segments and well worth watching and studying for that matter. It has a lot of information in it, a lot of wisdom, a lot of exciting stuff. One of which is that all living things on this planet require water in order to be living things. Since water is fundamental to our existence, it isn't surprising that some people recognize its importance. Not all people recognize its importance, but some people do. And in the water documentary, scientists and religious leaders describe water as having memory, and we can understand that in order to remember something, the ability to pick up or to receive and to hold on to vibrations of thoughts, of emotions, etc., has to be present. It seems in the documentary that water's memory is erased when water changes state. That is, when water goes from liquid state to the solid state, that is frozen, or to the gaseous state, that is, it's evaporated, or back and forth, that's when its memory is erased. On planet Earth, water sometimes is called the universal solvent, meaning it can dissolve anything and everything over time. In all religions and all cultures, water is used in rituals. Baptism in Christianity is a case in point. And baptism is based upon the story of John the Baptist, that is, the baptizer, And Jesus, when Jesus submits himself to this purification cleansing ritual that John performs, the use of water in ritual, in Christian ritual, rippled outward for the next 2,000 years and counting. In baptism, this ritual is related to the death of, perhaps, the old state and the beginning of the person's spiritual merging with life, capital L, God, all that is, and so on. So maybe there is the connotation of the death of the old and the birth of the new in this baptismal ritual. It'd be interesting to understand this. Is the erasing of a memory of separation, does this mean that the old state dies? Where does the energy of that old pattern we call memory go? Where does it go? Does it merge back into the one, capital O? Interesting questions. When we are born in water, that is the amniotic fluid in our mothers. Does this water serve to erase old memories and instill new ones? That makes sense to me because I believe, as frankly the majority of people on the planet believe, that there is more than one life. There were lives before this one and there will be lives after this one. So to me, the evidence that there are multiple lives for us is overwhelming. And maybe this being born in water is part of the separation of one experience of a life and the next experience of a life. There are so many references to death in our culture that I'm beginning to believe that death doesn't exist in reality. You ever hear this expression? We have beaten that dead horse. And it's used to describe, usually in a business situation, where a conversation has gone on over and over a particular topic until there is nothing else to offer. There's no other questions to ask about it, no other information available about it, or arrive at a dead end. That sounds like a lie to me. One reason is because there is no dead end when you have human imagination. Human imagination seems pretty much boundless. I don't know about boundless as life itself, but certainly in our experience, it's an amazingly unbounded process, human imagination. And if the subject, if the, quotes, horse were dead, end quotes, we wouldn't be able to talk about it. It wouldn't be alive in our minds, but it is alive in our minds. If it weren't alive, it wouldn't be able to produce emotional or physical expression in us. So I say, of course the horse is not dead, and maybe nothing else is either. Let's go back to the plants decaying and being reduced to their basic parts. A chemically oriented botanist would say that the chemicals of the now, quotes, dead, quotes, plant would go back into the soil and the chemicals will be available to nourish the roots of the next seed that begins growing in that space. Most of us don't think of plants having thoughts or emotions, but some people do. They truly do. And there may be a lot of scientific basis for that. Some people, myself included, would say that plants, just like everything else, animate and inanimate, are made up of spirit or vibrations or energy before we're made up of chemicals. And we can use those words of spirit, vibrations, and energy depending on how we want to use language when we describe this sort of thing. In this case, the spirit or life force expresses itself through the blueprint inherent in the seed. That's how a rose knows to be a rose and a radish knows to be a radish. That blueprint, that design, are the plans for the expression of spirit in that particular seed. There is spirit before there is the seed. during the seed's growth and through the entire cycle that we call the sequence of expression of life force, spirit is the active ingredient. When the life force changes its outer direction of expression and stops expressing in that direction, this is what we've been labeling as death. What simply could be happening here is that life wants to merge with the whole and take another avenue of expression in the next plant or plants. It doesn't continue on that particular path any longer. It decides to pull back. And we look at a plant's normal life cycle, we will go, well, this is pretty predictable when that's going to occur. I've been intrigued with the experience of spontaneous remembering that occurs when I stand in the shower sometimes under the shower head and the water hits the top of my head. Just memories and images seem to come out of nowhere and catch my attention. I find that very interesting. In discussions with our coaches, the idea of water cleansing the aura or biofield or this energy pattern, more than just my body, comes up. Up until the very moment that I wrote this a little while ago, I have not thought of intentionally offering up my memories so their energy could merge back with God, or even ask that God accept any memories that I have that stand in the way of my spiritual, mental, emotional, or physical progress to know God. To me, that's the game. This increasing awareness of God is the game. And anything that's interfering with that, any energy patterns that I've accumulated and made conclusions about that suggest that it's hard, it can't be done, or anything else that stands as a barrier, I would like to offer up. I would like it to merge back into the One so I would have access to it. As babies, we're submitted by our parents and guardians to the act of baptism. In that case, a person who has taken on this role processes us, almost like a manufacturing process, through the ritual. As a person who was brought up in the Roman Catholic religion, that baptismal ritual is a very standardized process, and it takes its basis from John the Baptist and Jesus. But water purification processes go back further than 2,000 years. So, as a child, we're handed over to a priest or a minister or somebody else who performs that ritual on our behalf. As adults, maybe we can have energy patterns that have gone through their entire useful life cycles, and we can have them merge back into God simply by asking God to accept them from us. When we look at a plant, we tend to see a single plant, a solitary unit. Oh, that's one rose bush, that's one petunia, that's one hibiscus bush. Maybe we can see ourselves as more complex, more involved, and not just as a single thing. In this case, the idea of letting aspects of us die, in quotes, die, that is, merge back into our source, will facilitate the growth of other aspects of us which are still growing, which we're excited about investing energy in. Maybe we can do that. If we look back on our lives and notice that we started as a combined seed, that's what a sperm is called, and an egg, that's what the ovum is called, and we describe it in our language that way. People have described it and we accept it, that's just what it really is. We could take that starting point of a fertilized egg and diagram our life after birth like a tree with branches. Let's assume that when we're born, we're like this fertilized egg now coming through the soil, coming through the space, and we're observable as ourselves. We could diagram it, and the branches of the tree would be the activities or the channels in which we've had our energy flow. You're just like poop, poop, poop. And people who have very few activities would, in the diagram, have very few branches. People with many activities would have many branches. So just imagine for a second that in this diagram, we would notice that branches could be labeled. We could label one as kindergarten. And that could be considered a short offshoot of a larger branch that could be labeled education or mental development or socialization or any number of things. It's arbitrary. We make that stuff up. Even though we stop delivering energy into the branch called kindergarten, we don't consider that we died. We simply redirected our energy that had been going into the kindergarten branch and then delivered it to the branch that we could call the first grade branch. That's one way of looking at it. I played organized baseball from the time I was 8 years old up to the time that I was an adult playing in a softball league. The 8-year-old baseball player didn't die. Maybe I could look at it in another way. The organized baseball branch, if you will, is growing, and it began early on, maybe before I was 8, but in a noticeable way when I was 8 and I was playing in an organized league. Then it grew further, and then I was 9 years old. It grew further, and I was 10 years old playing, and it grew further and further and further, and it continued on and on until I stopped delivering energy into the branch or that avenue of my life in the early 30s. I could say that I stopped delivering life force into this activity. It didn't die. It was only animated because I was giving it life with my intention and my attention, and I was directing energy into it. Are memories the same? Can they be? Can we stop delivering life force into them when we decide they no longer serve us and that this is not what we want to use our energy for? I think so. But I wouldn't call that process dying. I might call it redirection of energy. I bet there are a lot of labels that we could come up with that describe what that really is. I might call it merging the energy of past experiences back into the one so it could feed and fuel us vibrationally as we choose other channels of expression. If we let the previous channels of expression and those vibrational experiences support us in our new choices of expression, we can continue living without the need to die. Maybe this is what Jesus' gift was to us. Perhaps one of, if not the, greatest of his gifts. That is, and let me just say, I think one that most of us have totally missed, that there is no death if you believe in life. I personally want to detoxify my beliefs about my previous experiences that I had as I was growing and devoting my energy in one direction and then not, then in pulled back from one channel of expression and tried another and pulled back and tried another and so on. I want to see the good in them. I want to return anything that I can't find useful back to God so that I can have the energy back from God to use in my continued growth and awareness of my relationship with all that is. I had a conversation with a longtime friend the other night, and in the middle of the conversation, the subject of number of jobs came up. And he pointed out that he, over the course of the last 40 years, has had 14 different jobs. Now, he started to have some bad feelings about that, it seemed, because he would grow in a certain direction and then lose interest in that direction, and then grow in another direction and lose interest in that direction, then grow in another direction, then lose interest in that direction, to the tune of 14 times over 40 years. It seems to me now, as I'm talking about this subject and writing about it this morning, is that there is a great opportunity to get the value out of those 14 different branches of growth that he went through, get the value of those, and use all that nourishment, all that vibrational value to choose his next direction of growth. I think this is one of the points of this talk, as I come to a conclusion. When I'm not aware of how to get enough positive fruit out of a branch of my activity, that is, my physical activity, my emotional activity, my mental activity, my memories, my past experiences, that may be a good time to call upon God to accept this from me so I can turn it off. I wouldn't call that dying. I would certainly call it living. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the source and connection to all that is, thank you for helping us to know our connection to you, which presupposes the impossibility of death. Your connection to us and our connection to you is life. There is no death with you and with our connection to you. I trust that that connection is inviolate. Bless all of us. Really, better said, help all of us to understand that you are blessing us every single moment of every single day. Thank you. It is so. Amen.